Welcome back. It is Beamer in for Bowerly. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we welcome in Robbie Raw. Robbie, welcome to the studio.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. This is the week where the gyms are packed.
Yes.
There is a sign-up sheet for the Stairmaster.
I know. I love it. I taught this morning. It was packed. My classes were packed. The gym was packed. The parking lot was packed. I loved it.
Now, I know I ask you this question every year.
Yeah.
When do you notice the drop-off from the New Year's rush?
Yeah. Well, the statistics say it's about 3.74 months that people start dropping off.
Wow.
That's the latest statistic. You know, I think that's probably about right, but there's a core, you know, the core group like us,
yeah.
Joe, who have been working out all year, that, you know, kind of inspire the other people that didn't even start until the second month in. And so it kind of is a mixed bag, but, you know, definitely the first 3 months, it's jamming. And then around, you know, Easter, spring, it starts dropping
off. That spring break.
Yeah, because people are going away, but then the nutrition classes start going up because people want to lose weight and also they want to eat healthy and be in their bathing suit.
That's right. That's right. I got 45 days to my first of two beach trips this year, Robbie. So
nice.
Yeah, I know. I really gotta start eating better. And it's funny because I've talked about this with Mazurowski off the air, but you know, my workout trends, I have to say for the last week, I probably have not hit the gym as much as I normally do. But for the most part, I'm working out the same. It's the eating. I mean, and that is what, 80% of everything is?
I say 90,
95.
You cannot out-exercise a bad diet. You've heard me say that before. It's in my book.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, and that's my number one problem. I've talked about this. I love going to the gym. I love working out. But then, you know, I work out and, you know, I have a 1,500 calorie meal that I didn't put into, it kind of just outweighs your, no pun intended, outweighs the workout.
Yeah, and it's not so much the calories, it's what kind of calories, right? So the ingredients matter. And of course, you know, you can eat 1,500 calories of junk, or you can eat 1,500 calories of whole food and the food of the earth that you don't need to read a label on.
Right.
And you will lose weight with that, but not so much the processed food, of course.
Now, speaking of weight loss, because there seems to be a new trend every year, and the trend now is the shots, right? The Ozempic or the other things that I don't know.
Semi-gluten, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you've seen a lot of success stories on it, but Robbie, today I was reading the New York Post. That's where I do all my show prep. Uh-huh. And the New York Post, and people are, you know, obviously they lose the weight, they go off of the shots, and they're putting more weight on than when they started the shots. What is happening to people once they are off things like Ozempic?
Yes, good question. So as a registered nurse, I'm going to be giving those injections at a medical practice close by. And the fact of the matter is, we're also offering a nutrition and wellness class as well, so that people can learn how to eat, because that's the thing. You know, you can't cut out the fat with surgery. You can't just take an injection and lose weight. Because you are going to gain it back unless you change your habits. And so if anyone is taking those injections or anything else, and they're not really learning how to eat, portion control, ingredients, you know, everything they need to know from A to Z, how seed oils are so bad and all of that, you know, eat this, not that, and why, you are going to gain it back. You've got to change your habits too. So it's not just the education of the food, it's changing habits, behavior habits, right?
Exactly. And, you know, Robbie, the thing, you know, the people are saying is, okay, I'm off these injections, and all of a sudden I'm just feeling so hungry. We've all had that hunger pain where, mm-hmm. you know, your stomach's begging you to eat something. What is the best way to address that? Say you've had a long day, and maybe you didn't have lunch, which isn't recommended, but
right.
maybe you didn't have lunch, and you are just feeling overly hungry. Most people say, well, I didn't have lunch. I'm going to go to McDonald's. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Right. No.
But that's how a lot of people yeah. would answer that question. So, say, all right, I'm on the road, I'm going home, it's been a long day, I am starving. How do I correctly address that starving feeling?
Well, preparation is always helpful, you know, so if you prep ahead of time, maybe make some hard-boiled eggs or have some veggies and hummus, you know, available in your car so you can grab that. The worst thing you can do is eat out of a box or a window, a fast food window place. You can't have a $1 million body or a $1 million bill of health by doing that. And so protein and fiber with every meal makes losing weight no big deal because you want to stabilize your blood sugar. When you don't stabilize your blood sugar, that's when you crave other things, mostly carbohydrates and sugar. And of course, a lot of people are getting off of the cookies right now and all of the holiday foods, and they're craving it, but you've got to break the chain. And so, you know, I've talked about detox before on this class, and I'm starting a detox for a group tonight. It really is cold turkey in terms of the sugar. You can't wean off it, just like alcohol. You have to break the chain. You have to just stop. And in terms of what you should eat, protein. Protein is not going to make you crave more protein. Fiber is not going to make you crave more fiber, like having vegetables and hummus and something like that. But carbohydrates are going to make you crave more carbs. Sugar is going to make you crave more sugar.
Now, carbs, I mean, this is something, as long as I can remember, carbs have been a debate, right?
Yeah.
What's a good carb versus a bad carb?
Yeah, so, you know, simple carbs you want to stay away from, you know, that have no nutritional value. So white bread, you know, white rice. But you've also got to be careful, and I always say if it's white, don't bite. But you also have to be careful with brown, because brown is, you know, can also make you crave more carbohydrates. So if you have brown bread or wheat bread, and I've said this before with you, our wheat today is not our grandmother's wheat. And so it's genetically modified. It's processed. And so it still flips on that metabolic switch, which signals your body to store fat, particularly in the midsection. And so, you know, what we've got to be careful of is we're not increasing the visceral fat in our body. There's subcutaneous fat, which is kind of like outside of the organs, and then there's visceral fat, which is around the organs and inside the organs, and that causes a health risk. And so the more that you are eating bad, the more visceral fat is forming in your body, and the more you are at risk for obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and all of that. So our goal is really not to, you know, pack on any fat, particularly visceral fat, but also to stabilize our blood sugar.
So when I pay a dollar more for brown rice, is that all a farce?
No, you should.
So brown rice is good.
Yes, yes. It definitely has more fiber and it's better for you.
Okay, so if I'm going to Chipotle, I want the brown rice.
For sure.
Okay.
And I mean, you can go to places like that and they do have fresh foods there, which is a great thing. And so I think the problem is when we are taking in processed food with hydrogenated oil, and all of the seed oils that are out there are so detrimental. I know you talked about heart earlier. Heart attacks happen from, you know, a variety of reasons, but we know that you're at higher risk for a heart attack or a cardiac event if you are eating processed food and junk. And, you know, the seed oils are horrible for you.
Now, that kind of answers my next question. I ask you this question every year,
yeah, that's okay.
And then we'll get to the trends. Every year I ask you this question. What is what's a food or several foods out there that you see that are misleadingly unhealthy? Right? They're packaged as something that is beneficial for you when really it isn't beneficial.
Oh, gosh. There's so many, Joe. We need a 5-hour show for this. you know, I went to the grocery store today and I saw people, you know, buying yogurt. Yogurt with fruit in it is filled with sugar. You know, what you want to do if you're going to have yogurt, make sure it's organic. And also, you know, add the fruit, add the blueberries or the raspberries or some nuts or cinnamon or something like that. Cinnamon is wonderful for stabilizing your blood sugar, by the way. You know, any kind of, I mean, there's a whole section in the grocery store of bars, fitness bars. They're pretty much, most of them are like candy bars. They have sugar in them. There's hydrogenated oil. They are processed. They're a food-like thing, not a food. There's probably 2 or 3, which are really whole foods that have a short shelf life. The rest have a long shelf life.
So, because that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. The bars.
Yeah.
Because there is a kind of bar that I will have before a run because it's so high in carbs and it will give me that extra push. But What are some of the good ones when you, you know, because I see RX Bar is a very popular one that's out there now.
Yeah.
What's one of the bars that you, that is, hey, I have a busy day, I still want to eat healthy, I'm going to put this in, you know, in my backpack for work. What's one of the ones that you would recommend?
Yeah, they're probably not as good as the ones you're thinking of. But, you know, Go Raw, there's a couple others that I would think about. I got to think the name of them. But they, if you, what you want to do is look at the ingredients. It's got to be whole foods. And so Go Raw Bar is mostly dates and seeds and nuts. So you want to make sure that you're looking at the ingredients, not how much calories, not how much fat, not how much protein, none of that. I don't care how much sugar, because even in a Go Raw Bar, there's dates. So the sugar is up, but it's not added sugar. If you're eating plain yogurt, you'll see that there's sugar, but it's lactose sugar. It's not sugar from added sugar or from the fruit sugar that's in there.
And that is different?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So you got to look at the ingredients.
All right. Well, we're going to go to traffic real quick. We come back. Some fitness trends of 2024. So much more. If you have a question for Robbie, 803-0930, you can text it in as well on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. We got the text board right here in front of us. Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Robbie Raw is with us, and she will answer your questions at 803-0930, star 930, and on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. We'll get to some of those text questions in the next segment. Robbie, fitness trends, we talk about this every year.
Yeah.
And what are some of the hot fitness trends heading into 2024?
Yes, there's fitness trends and food trends. So wearable technology happens to be number one. So wearable technology, you have your fitness tracker on, your smartwatch. There's heart rate monitors. I wear a heart rate monitor. I just was on the beach in Florida. I was wearing my heart rate monitor.
Nice.
There's GPS tracking devices, including tech that can monitor heart rate, calories, sitting, times, you know, sleep and everything else. So, you know, your sleep is extremely important. Also, workside health promotions, more fitness programs at offices and stuff like that is more prevalent this year. Fitness programs for older adults. Of course, we have a huge population that's aging. So interventions focused on the unique needs of the aging population. Exercise for weight loss is on the list this year, which is incorporating weight loss programs such as dietary and culinary interventions along with the exercise routine. So, I mean, this has kind of been around for a while, but now it's a trend. So, you know, I always am talking in my fitness classes about, you know, can't just do this. You can't just out-exercise a bad diet. Also, reimbursement in fitness programs for companies. So companies are reimbursing their employees to work out. And this has been around for a while with some companies, but more and more companies are doing it. So it's on the list this year, which makes sense because you want your employee not to be out sick.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it. Insurance companies, I think, should reward you for, I don't know, being in shape, right? You get rewarded for not smoking.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, you talked about some of the trends, and now this has been a trend for the last few years, Robbie, and that's intermittent fasting. Where do you stand on that, and who are the right people to do that, and is there a wrong way or wrong time to do that, if you know what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, you know, intermittent fasting is something that I'm a real advocate on, and it's not on the list this year, but it should be, because there's health benefits to fasting, especially at night. You know, when you're sleeping, you don't want to be eating too close to going to bed. You don't want to be eating during, you know, the night.
No midnight snack.
No midnight snack, or no getting up at 3 o'clock to have a you know, snack. Intermittent fasting is pretty much, you know, beneficial. Of course, people should check with their, you know, healthcare provider, of course, because you could be on medication where you shouldn't be fasting at night or whatever.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, if you start, so say your last meal is at 7 p.m. at night, and you don't eat again until 7 o'clock the next morning. I think a lot of our listeners do that. Their last meal is at 7 o'clock, or the last time they ate something, and then they don't eat again until 7 o'clock. They're already doing intermittent fasting.
Right.
That's 12 hours of fasting right there. I like to push it to 14. Some of my clients push it to 17 or 16. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of health benefits. You can lose a lot of weight that way, and it helps cut cravings.
So that is a good way for just sustaining or losing weight, intermittent fasting.
Losing weight.
Losing weight.
You know, I mean, you have like a window. It depends on, you know, whether you're going to lose weight or not. It depends on how much you eat during those other hours, right?
So because you're intermittent fasting doesn't mean for the 12 hours you do eat, you can eat whatever you want.
No, you can't. Unfortunately not.
Now, let me ask. So, you know, not eating before bed, but what about working out? What if you go to the gym at 8 and you go to sleep at 10:30? Is there anything wrong with that?
So wrong with what?
Working out right before bed.
Oh, no. I mean, I think the best time to work out is when you can work out, you know. And I, you know, for 40 years, taught classes at night. I don't anymore. And there's benefits to whenever. The thing is, if you work out, say you do a workout between 7 and 8 p.m. at night, and then you go home and you eat a big meal, you know, and you're...
Cancels it out?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to eat before you go to bed because there's no activity to burn those calories. Yeah, I mean, it's not a good idea to do that. You know, if you go home and you have a salad or maybe some soup or something like that, because some people I know come from work, and from work they go right to the gym and they haven't had dinner yet. But then just have a light meal, have a heavier meal for lunch.
You know, I know, like overseas, right, in Europe, they have their biggest meal for lunch.
Yeah.
Is that the way it should be?
I think so.
We have so much, you know, you're still doing activity in the afternoon instead of having the big meal right before you go to bed.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. You know, and don't skip meals, because a lot of people skip meals.
People skip meals thinking that's helping. Is that hurting because when you finally do eat, like we talked about, you're going to eat more because, hey, I didn't have lunch. I can have as much as I want here.
Well, that's part of it. That is part of it, Joe. But the other thing is, you know, when we don't eat, our body doesn't know the difference between us standing in the wilderness without any food or being in our kitchen not eating. So the way God made our body is it drastically reduces our metabolic rate to snail pace, because our body doesn't know when it's going to be fed again. And so you slow down your metabolism, and that's the last thing you want to do. You want to be revving up your metabolism. If you're dehydrated, if you're not drinking enough water, you can also slow down your metabolic rate. And who wants to do that?
Now, speaking of metabolic rate, and I know we have a break here, so real quick, yeah. There's a UFC fighter that I follow, and they did a 72-hour fast to reset, they claim, their metabolic their metabolism.
Yikes.
Is there any truth to that?
Oh, gosh.
Now, we're not UFC fighters. I get it. Yeah. I get it's a completely different class and everything, but is there truth to a 72-hour fast resetting your metabolism?
I don't know. I'd have to research it, but... I don't want to do it.
No, you wouldn't advise it.
No, I wouldn't advise fasting for 72 hours. No.
All right. 803-0930, star 930. Robbie Ross here for another segment. We will get to the text questions and a few more trends after the news with Tom Puckett on WBEN.
On my ecstasy, you're the one I need.
Blaine Tanner, he started this. You play one Backstreet Boys song, it's like Kiss. You play one Backstreet Boys song, I'm going to be asking for Backstreet Boys the rest of the day. It is Beamer in for Bowerly. We got Robbie Raw in studio taking your calls, your questions, 803-0930, star 930 to get on the air. Robbie, before we get to food trends, here's a question following up on what we talked about before the break. What's the difference between intermittent fasting and skipping meals?
Oh, well, skipping meals, you know, would be... I mean, you think three meals a day, you're still, if you're intermittent fasting, still going to get those three meals a day.
Okay.
So if you skip meals, you're skipping, maybe you're fasting for like 4 hours or 5 hours or something like that. There's not a lot of benefit to that, and it's not recommended because it slows down your metabolic rate. When we do intermittent fasting, we're doing it at night when we're sleeping.
So when you talk about people, you know, pushing it to 14, 15 hours, once you start eating, though, you are still getting those three healthy meals in.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go, Texter. Thank you. So now, food trends. What do you mean by these healthy food trends of 2024?
It's just trends that the industry says is, you know, hot this year in 2024. So one is caffeine-free is the new sober. So basically, people are valuing their sleep more. And so going caffeine-free for most of the day so that you're sleeping better is a trend this year. So low caffeine lifestyles, low caffeine drinks, things like that, you know, herbal teas.
I can't relate to that.
You can't?
Caffeine free as I'm on my second Monster Energy of the day? No, I can't relate to
that. Wow, my gosh. Well, an estimated 39% of coffee drinkers are actively looking to decrease their caffeine consumption, according to a recent survey.
Yeah, well, some people, I mean, let's be honest, some people drink till they're jittering. That's obviously not good.
Yeah, well, I'd be jittery if I was drinking even a quarter of what you're drinking right now.
Well, we need the energy.
Why? Are you working out right now? You're sitting here.
No, but I need the energy to have... I need the energy to have the energy that I have on the air.
I got it. You do have energy in your voice. Number two food trends, alternative proteins from unexpected sources. So after pea protein, soy, rice, hemp, algae made their way into our food supply as an alternative, people are searching for even more plant-free options. And, you know, why is that? Because we're realizing that meat is not that great for you, and that as the consumption of animal products goes up, according to the China study, the incidence of cancer goes up. And also, hormones are injected in the meat, hormones and antibiotics. So if you're going to eat meat, you better, you know, make sure it's hormone and antibiotic free.
You got to go with the organic section.
Yes. Place like, you know, Whole Foods that...
Right. Everything is.
Yeah. I mean, well, not everything is organic, but they don't put hormones and antibiotics in their meat.
Let me ask you this. You know, red meat versus, you know, chicken and turkey. Is there a better meat when talking about things like that? Like, is there a better meat to get your protein from?
Well, white, you know.
So chicken is better than like a steak?
100%. Because there's so much fat in the red meat. And, you know, we want to stay away from that. It's a heart, you know, it's heart health.
When you talk cancer, is there cancer-related things in chicken? Or is that, again, more leaning toward the red meat?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I've had that question before. You know, it's an animal product. So any animal products, including eggs. So as the consumption of any animal products goes up, the incidence of cancer goes up. And that's from the China study done by Dr. Colin Campbell. If you watch Forks Over Knives, it talks about that. And Dr. Thomas Campbell is from the University of Rochester. He's the son. He also wrote the book, and he's all plant-based.
Is there a wrong way to try to replace meats, right? We have like the fake meat patties out Impossible and stuff like that. Is that the right way to go, or is it the more traditional consumption of those products?
Yeah, you know, focusing on things like fish, seafood would be better for you, not the fake meats. That would definitely be a problem because a lot of that is processed if you look at the ingredients of that. And so, you know, even people are even using, you know, mushrooms are definitely not an unexpected protein source, but people are using that. Just making sure you're eating whole foods is the main thing.
All right, 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the air with Robbie Raw. Robbie, someone asked, again, with the intermittent fasting, would drinking juice or herbal tea count during the fasting hours?
No, you shouldn't be drinking. You know, some people do drink herbal teas during fasting, and I'm okay with that if somebody really wants to have it. But, you know, generally I say water.
Water the whole
time. During the fasting part, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Also, number three, in terms of food trends, snacks to steady your blood sugar. So, you know, anything that is helping to avoid type 2 diabetes and stabilize your blood sugar. I know there was a question on insulin resistance. We can talk about that. But anything that has fiber in it and protein and not doesn't impact your blood sugar. So any kind of nuts, like I was just traveling the last 3 weeks, I had nuts in my backpack that I was traveling, you know, that I was snacking on. Pecans, almonds, even avocados would be great for you. Even a hard-boiled egg once in a while, throw it in your bag. Yeah.
If you have high blood pressure, stay away from get the unsalted.
You know, I interviewed Dr. D. Nickel Antonio, who wrote the book The Salt Fix, and he disputed a 40-year study that basically disputed that salt was causing high blood pressure in cardiac events. He did the study, disputed that 40-year study that was done. There was no study done in 40 years. And so he basically says that we need salt. And he's an athlete. He adds salt to his water. I add salt to my water. You know, you should always check with your doctor, of course. Buy your doctor the book, The Salt Fix, by Dr. Deed Nicolantonio.
Interesting, because I my blood pressure fluctuates, but I try to stay away from salt because of the what's been told out there to stay away from salt if you have high blood pressure.
Yeah, and the salt, the type of salt matters, you know. So right. Real Redmond salt or Himalayan salt. You want to, you know, have heart attack in a box salt. Yeah.
Now, someone's asking again. Back to the we were talking about what meats are, you know, better, and you talked about the ones that, you know, have all the chemicals put in it and all that. Someone said venison. What if you go out and you hunt deer and you've got, you know, venison that you got? It didn't go through any process.
Yeah,
would that be better than something bought in the store?
I would think so. I've never had venison, and I'm not a meat person. So, yeah, I mean, I would think so. It's leaner, right? It's leaner, and it's not injected with hormones and antibiotics. And it's a kind of a gruesome thought to, yeah.
I like venison. Venison's good. I know you were vegetarian, right? Now you're back on eating some meat.
I'm primarily a vegetarian. I primarily eat plant-based diet. I do eat fish. I do eat chicken occasionally, and I do eat eggs occasionally as well. But I really don't eat red meat, and I feel healthier, and I have a 50% chance of getting breast cancer because my sister passed away with breast cancer, and I don't want to increase my risk. So I'm pretty conscious of what I eat.
Do you find it difficult to eat just plant-based?
No. I've been doing it so long, I love it. And sometimes people come to me and they're like, you know, I'm a vegetarian and, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. And I look at their diet and everything is pasta, 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 pasta. No wonder they're not losing weight.
Right.
There's so many other things. You know, beans are a carbohydrate, but they're also a protein and they're loaded with fiber. Lentils, legumes, all of that. And, you know, again, seafood, you know, so I may have a salad with salmon or a salad with, you know, some chickpeas or, you know, something like that. Tuna, whatever. But making sure if you are going to have seafood that it's not tilapia, it's the higher end, like wild salmon, not farm raised anything, and nothing that crawls at the bottom of the ocean eating, because they eat junk, basically.
I got to ask you this, Robbie. What is your favorite vegetarian meal?
Well, you know, I love soups, and it can be a meal for me. So I love lentil soup. I make all kinds of different ways. I make lentil soup a lot of different ways, recipes in my book. I'll make red lentil soup with squash. I'll make green lentil soup with spinach and whole tomatoes. There's so many things that you can do with soup and make it a whole meal. Even have a detox soup or a vegetable soup. There's a lot of different things, you know, with meals. But in terms of like a meal, like a, you know, vegetarian meal, eggplant is one of my favorites. Like, I like eggplant palm. I kind of dip the eggplant in egg, and then I'll use coconut flakes instead of bread or gluten-free, you know, breadcrumbs. And then I don't put a ton of cheese on it.
Yeah, eggplant. I mean, I do all the wrong things with it, but I love a good eggplant parm.
Yeah, and it's vegetarian.
803-0930, *930 gets you on with Robbie Raw. You talked earlier about wearable technology, and I have noticed it is so easy to track what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. But can there be something, I don't know how to word this, can the numbers on your device be manipulated and maybe you're not getting 100% the most correct information when it comes to your workout?
Well, the best way to track is with a heart rate monitor. And so I ride my bike or walk or run or whatever it is, and I'll use a heart rate monitor. And then, you know, it will be regulated more, I would say, more accurately than my Fitbit or my Apple Watch. The Apple Watch is pretty accurate, but there are a little bit of inconsistencies, but it's pretty accurate.
I saw yesterday something about, you know, if you're at a certain weight and you want to just start losing weight, the best thing to do is a 45-minute walk a day. Is that really the best way to start?
I think it's a great way to start. I mean, people ask me all the time, Robbie, how do I start? And I just say, start, you know, just put on your sneakers and start. Walk outside, walk at the mall, do whatever you can do. If you can walk, walk. If you can run, run. If you can, you know, whatever it is, crawl, crawl. But walking is great. But we start losing muscle at age 35.
No.
So, and our hormones for women start hijacking our bodies at age 40, and collagen decreases. So it's like the perfect storm for gaining weight at age 35 for guys. So you really got to increase your muscle mass, which you got to lift weights.
So it is more difficult to lose weight the older you get. That is true.
I wouldn't say it's more difficult. I just think that you need to do the right exercise and you need to eat right. When you're in your 20s, you can not work out and eat crap and look like you work out and eat right.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
basically, as you get older, and you know I'm not 30, you know, as you get older, you've got to do the right thing and you've got to be consistent about it. Do I cheat? 100%. During the holidays, yeah, I had some Italian cookies and this and that. I also feel like junk after I eat it. So I don't want to eat junk because I don't want to feel like junk, but I'll have a little bit here and there. And even with that, portions matter. You know, portions matter with everything. So I might have a bite of something and just to taste it instead of eating like a whole piece of cake.
Robbie Ra is with us. And Robbie, before we get out of here today, people, you know, going back to the gym, you're trying to get into a routine. What is the recommended duration of a workout and how many times a week should you work out?
Yeah, so it's the FIT principle, the frequency, intensity, time, and type that you want to think about. So, and you can manipulate that, by the way. So the frequency, the recommended frequency of working out is 3 to 6 days per week with 1 day off per week. And that's pretty much what I do. You can, if you only work out 3 days a week, you can get the same benefits of 6 days a week if you make it harder and longer. So you can manipulate that a little bit. The intensity, you know, there was a fallacy a few years ago that said, you know, you shouldn't get your heart rate in the anaerobic zone and all this stuff. Listen, harder is always better, okay? But when you're first starting out, baby steps. You don't have to go crazy. So if you walk on the treadmill instead of run, or, you know, start walking instead of running, that's a good thing. But in terms of benefits, the intensity should be about 65 to 85% of your average heart rate zone. So basically, to find that out, it's 220 minus your age times 65 to 85%. You can figure out your target zone that way. So frequency, intensity, time, how long should you work out each time? Well, again, you know, the minimum that people should really work out, according to the experts, is 60 minutes. But if you only have 30 minutes, then do 30 minutes. You're going to get benefits for that. Sometimes I feel like working out for 30 minutes, and sometimes I work out for an hour. It depends on how I feel. But I always push myself. And when you start doing it, you're like, oh, wow, I already did 30 minutes. Might as well do 15 more or whatever, right? So frequency, intensity, time, and type of exercise. So everybody should try and do cardiovascular exercise at least 3 days per week where you're sweating, you're breathless, you're pushing yourself into the target zone. And then, of course, building muscle, you know, increasing bone density with some weight-bearing activities like lifting weights. And then also stretching. So it could be mind-body flexibility and strength like yoga or something like that. But definitely increasing the range of motion around the joint is important. So that's the type of exercise. And you don't have to do it every single time you work out. So say Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're doing cardiovascular exercise. And Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you're doing resistive training. And then you do a little bit of stretching at the end. You're good.
All right. Now, what if you're, you know, starting off, what's the worst routine you could have at the gym? Again, I working out, you should be doing. But what's, you know, the wrong approach?
The wrong approach, that's such a good question, Joe, is to walk in not knowing anything and just start working out. I always recommend, if you're new to the gym, you know, you get an orientation and all that when you join the gym, but either get a trainer to teach you the equipment or jump in a group exercise class like I teach, because we design the classes for you and we teach safety, effectiveness, and you know, benefits right in the class. But just walk in the gym and start working out by yourself or with your friend, not knowing what you should do, you could get injured and you're probably not going to get results if you don't know what you're doing.
And there it is, Robbie Raw, The Raw Truth. Robbie, thank you so much for spending an hour with us. Third year in a row, we do a year fitness, and hopefully next year I'm actually thinner when we have this discussion.
You look great. Thank you so much,
well,
Joe.
Thank you, Robbie. That's Robbie Raw, The Raw Truth, and we'll be back 1 hour to go. Beamer in for Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN.